We're going to continue our conversation this morning around what it means for us to be preparing to receive the Holy Spirit, preparing for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And I know many of you right now have someone physically beside you. Some of you have someone physically sitting beside you right now. If you look to the left, you look to the right, there's someone there. I'm going to start you off with the larger proverbial reflective question. Who's really beside you right now? Who's really beside you right now? If you have your Bible, I invite you to open up with me to Isaiah chapter 8. It'll be on the screen if you don't have it. Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to be beginning at verse 19 and invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 8, beginning of verse 19. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not people inquire of their God? Why consult on behalf of, or why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Then he launches into a hymn. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts up to your word today. And Lord, as we are seeking your Holy Spirit, we are seeking what it is you might do through a people like us beyond our own strength, our own power, our own planning, our own organization. God, we want to be open to your word. We want to be pliable. We want to be shapeable. We want to be teachable. So Lord, today as we get into this word, may this word get into us. May it take real fruit in our lives, Lord, and bring about goodness that right now we couldn't even imagine. So I pray now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be holy and pleasing to you, our rock, our redeemer, and our risen Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Last week in our continuation of this sermon series on prepare, we had a conversation out of Luke's gospel, and we talked about several different movements that came out of a question that Jesus' disciples asked him when they asked, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? We talked about how in that moment they were asking Jesus to teach them how to pray in the same way that they saw John teaching his disciples how to pray. And in that moment, Jesus gave them what was probably an often recited prayer that we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. In Luke's gospel, it's a much shorter version than we get in Matthew's gospel. But following the teaching of that recited prayer, Jesus went on to share a parable about a man who had a friend come to him at midnight, and he didn't have anything to feed him. And so he had to go to his neighbor in the middle of the night and bang on his door and ask for bread. And to bring that parable to a point, Jesus said, the man did get up and give him food, but he didn't give him food because he was a friend to the man. He got up and gave him food because of the man's shameless audacity, this idea that he would stand there in the middle of the night banging on the door, even though it was going to inconvenience the friend that he was seeking help from. And then he goes on to talk about this idea. He turns to the disciples or the crowd standing there, and he asks the question, which of you fathers, if your child asks for a gift, you wouldn't just get them a prank. You would help them out. You would bless them. You would love them. And then he says, in the same way that you earthly fathers who are evil, you know how to give good gifts, how much more so will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for the Holy Spirit? And so we talked around that idea of what does it look like for us to stand at the foot of the Father and to bang on the Father's door and to ask the Father with a shameless audacity, give us your Holy Spirit. Bring your Spirit into our lives. Disrupt the comfort with which we are living life right now and help us to experience your Spirit in such a way that life itself cannot be explained by anything we could have done or planned or put together. Bring your supernatural reality into our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit and make it happen. Now, following that conversation last week, we're going to land on two movements, one for this week and one for next week. And so today, I want us to talk about what that inner movement may look like. If the Lord was gracious enough to respond to our request, give us your Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit came into our hearts, what would that look like in the inner world in which we are living life? What would that look like in our spiritual lives? What would that look like in our inner being? How would it manifest itself in the inner world that no one else sees? And when I think about that idea, I think about one of the difficulties that we have as humans today. And I do not stand up here as some expert on this, as if I'm going to tell you what this looks like. But I'm very aware today that one of the most difficult challenges we have today as humans is the difficulty of listening. Even some of you at that point went, wait, what'd you say? Right? For us as humans, we have a very difficult time listening, and it manifests itself in many different ways. For many of us, we have a difficult time listening to someone who is standing right in front of our face and is speaking to us. And for some of us, we have difficulty listening to that person because for some of us, our minds are just thinking on different things. And even as we look at this person and we want to recognize their plight, we realize that the death of their loved one or the loved one they have that's going through cancer is not nearly as important as the craft that you made a mistake on earlier that you gave as a gift. And what are those people going to think about you? And whatever mundane reality it is, we have a difficulty as humans not listening because in our own minds, we've made our own little problem so large that we can't actually listen to your big idea problem because what is in front of us, what it is we care about, is what it is we care about. Some of us have difficulty listening because as you're telling your story, our minds are making the connection on every experience we've had that was remotely like that one. Oh, you went on a mission trip. To South Africa? Yeah, I was in Asia one time, and you won't believe what was happening. And our minds are just going because we want to go ahead and prove to you that you had an experience, but I had a greater experience. And so as soon as you'll be quiet, I'll tell you about my experience, and your experience will pale in comparison. Some of us, our problems are just so big, they're right in front of us. Doesn't matter how big or small they are. They're just right there, and it keeps us from listening to people. Others of us, we just want to validate ourselves so much that we can't truly listen, because while one person is speaking, we are just chomping at the bit to tell you our experience, our scenario, our situation, and why ours is so much greater than yours. Some of you just don't listen because you don't care, right? Man, I thought I'd gotten a chuckle right there, right? Like, I hear what you're saying, I just don't care very much about what's going on in your life right now. Some of us have difficulty listening because the world is inundating us with information and noise and sound every single second of the day. The idea of listening is impossible for us. Henry Nouwen talks about this idea that for some of us, when we try to enter into an exercise of listening as a spiritual discipline, we will find it extremely difficult in the early days, because when we try to find silence and solitude, what will happen is all of our preoccupations, our to-do lists, our past, our regrets, they will start speaking into our mind. So even if and when we find a time to sit down in silence with the Lord, good luck listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say, because our minds will at that point just start working on us in a way that we can't even imagine. And for many of us, we'll say, I've got to get out of this silence and solitude, and I've got to get back on with my day, because when my hands are doing something, I'm able to shut the voices out a little bit. But for some of us, it's very difficult to listen because we're just being hit with so much stuff over and over again. I haven't been reminded of this more so than in the past week. Just watching social media. As a confession, about a year and a half ago, I took a huge break from Facebook. Okay, so I kind of chuckle to myself. Somebody comes to me and goes, hey, did you see my picture on Facebook? I just kind of chuckle because I'm not really on there a whole lot. I've tried to get back, like I had a 2019 resolution, like what would it look like for me to kind of re-engage Facebook? Faithful pastor, re-engage Facebook. And then I went back to Facebook and I realized most of it's just the same as what it was when I left. And I was like, okay. So I look through it every now and then, but like I'm not living my life on it, and I'm okay with that. But this past week, there's been some stuff going on. Anybody paying attention to the news? Anybody paying attention to the political scene? It's very difficult to go on social media and not see the plethora of stances and positions that are being taken about what should be happening on our southern border, what should be happening with the government shutdown, what should be happening with high school students encountering Native Americans. And you can go on Facebook and you can see all the opinions that are out there. And even though when you're on Facebook, it's mostly silent, I'm reminded that it's just noise. It's noise. It's noise. It's noise. It's noise. And how do I hear and discern the voice of God in the midst of the noise? One of the questions that has been fascinating to me over the years, particularly when I was working with teenagers, you see, when you work with teenagers, you actually have this belief that you might impact a heart or a mind so that it might go a different direction. I wasn't very long into pastoral ministry when I realized that for many of us as adults, we've already established our direction, and there's not a whole lot that's probably going to change my direction. I would love to see a statistic on the number of Facebook threads that have ever resulted in one of the parties changing their position on the thing that was being discussed. My guess would be 0%. Isaiah comes onto the scene, and he's talking to a people. He's referencing this idea on where we seek wisdom. And here's where he starts. He starts in such a strange place. I wish I could say that as parents we've done a better job, but the truth is a lot of the stuff that is even out there for children includes stuff like wizards and ghosts and goblins. We were watching The Wizard of Oz the other day. They're talking about the Wicked Witch being killed. Well, where'd she go? We had the subtitles on. She's gone down below to where the goblins go. Okay, Mia, did you get that? You know where the Wicked Witch is? Yay. We were walking down the street the other day, and I was trying to make a joke to my daughters. It was Avery and Mia and I. We were walking down the street, and there was some white cloth. I don't know what it was, a sheet or something. And it was just laying there in the grass. And as we walked by, I tried to make a dumb dad joke, you know. I walked by and I was like, oh, look, a dead ghost. You know, to which Avery looks up at me and goes, ah, dad, ghosts are already dead. I'm like, oh, okay. No joke, can't make this stuff up. This morning, we were walking out of the door of our apartment. Mia had two things she wanted to bring to church with her. Her Bible, which is not actually hers, it's actually Avery's, but she wanted to bring her Bible. And then, I kid you not, she looks at me and goes, oh, and Daddy, will you carry this? And she pulled out a necklace. It was about this long. She said, will you give me this? My pretend ghost friend gave it to me. I didn't even know she had a pretend ghost friend. Did you know, Marley? I didn't know she had a pretend ghost friend. But her pretend ghost friend gave her this necklace. I don't have time to deal with it at the moment. We'll have to deal with that later, okay? I think about those things, and I do. I chuckle, I laugh, but the truth is it wasn't just a month ago. We were sitting and having dinner with some folks, and the conversation of Ouija boards came out. It was very difficult for me in that moment to take that conversation seriously, but I was reminded in that moment that there are people who do take those conversations very seriously. They're convinced that there is something of the other world, of the spirit world, that has the ability to communicate. Isaiah references this at the end of chapter 8. Here's what he says. Listen to this nuance, okay? I need you to stick with me this morning. Listen to this. Here's what Isaiah says. When somebody tells you, okay? When somebody tells you, do you see that? Do you hear that? When somebody tells you, they didn't have social media back in the day. They're not communicating with people on social media. This person is close enough to communicate to the other person. They're sitting side by side. They're living life alongside one another. Party B is communicating to party A. When somebody tells you, they're living life alongside one another. When somebody tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter. So not only are they living life very closely to each other when somebody tells you, but party B has said to party A, you should consult mediums and spiritists about your issues. So they're walking very closely with one another, and one party believes that the best wisdom, the best advice that they can give to the other is you should seek those who have already died. You should seek wisdom from those who have gone on before. You should seek out the wisdom of those who are alive, who are in contact with the dead, and it'll be there you'll find your answers for whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is. Watch this movement. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not people inquire of their God? He's asking the rhetorical question there. You're living life alongside somebody and they're giving you advice. Shouldn't you do something else? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. Please pay attention to these two words right there. Instruction and testimony. Teaching and testimony. Instruction and testimony. Consult God's instruction. That's verse 20, Isaiah 8:20. Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. In other words, Isaiah is saying, if you consult anyone, friend, foe, Facebook, medium, spiritist, ghost, whatever. If you consult anyone and the message that you get from that someone is different from what you have heard from the instruction and the testimony of God, that person, that spirit, that medium does not have the light of dawn. In other words, it's not of God. If the instruction you're getting is not consistent with the historical reality of the instruction and the teaching and the testimony that God has given you, then it's not of God. It doesn't matter how wise it sounds. It doesn't matter how 2019 it sounds. If what you're getting, if what you're receiving is inconsistent from what God has said, that is not of God. He goes on. He starts describing these people that have no light of dawn. And friends, I got to tell you, I don't do this often, but if there is a prophetic historical statement that I think perfectly describes the state of our world today, it's the next two verses. Pay attention to this. Verse 21, distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. It is no mistake, friends, that today, 2019, the overwhelming reality that we feel as a humanity is fear. What good could come? Distress, darkness, gloom, death. This is where we're headed. I mean, this is the overall reality that we're experiencing in our world today. Little hope, little light. In contrast to the teaching and the instruction of God. Well, then he goes on, the writer goes on, and he gives us a scripture verse that's kind of out of context for us. If you pay attention around Christmas time, you will notice that the oracle that he goes into here in chapter 9 is really more of a passage that we hear around Christmas. It's where we get this beautiful Christmas passage, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will have these different titles." Now, the image here is really dealing with some earthly kings, and this idea was that the ideal king was one day going to come in and take control, and this ideal king would possess the realities that we all need. Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace, a Bringer of Peace, a Bearer of Peace. And so we ask the question, looking at the passage, when someone tells you, consult a medium, consult a spiritist. I couldn't help but this week go down this kind of sermonic framework. I wanted to build in you a straw man, this idea that there are those out there who consult spiritists and mediums. There are those out there who are consulting the dead on behalf of the living. And I wanted to get you kind of enraged, and I wanted to bring you to this point that you would say, "Pastor, I would never consult a medium. I would never consult a spiritist. Pastor, I would never try to seek out the dead to get wisdom and instruction about life. I would never do that." And I wanted to kind of bring you to that point where you would say, "Pastor, we wouldn't do that." That warning Isaiah's giving, you don't have to worry about us. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't consult those people for wisdom. And then when I got you to that point as a congregation, I would pull back as a preacher and I would ask, "Okay, so who is consulting you?" You see, one of the dangers that we have in life today would be this idea that, "Dwayne, I would not go too far this way. Dwayne, I wouldn't go too far this way and consult mediums and spiritists. I wouldn't go too far this way and try to get in touch with past ancestors. Dwayne, I wouldn't go too far this way and consult Ouija boards. Dwayne, I wouldn't go too far this way, start trusting my fortune cookies," right? And perhaps the temptation would be for us to say, "I won't go too far this way, but Dwayne, you know what? What I'm seeing on Facebook looks pretty wise. I've got a friend at work, and every time he says something, it just sounds like it just makes sense. And it's different from what I hear in Scripture, and it's different from what I hear when I pray, but it kind of makes sense. Dwayne, it's 2019, so I'm not going to go over here. But this doesn't actually feel too bad." And all along the way, God's over here going, "If it doesn't match up, if it's not consistent with the teaching and the instruction and the testimony that God has given you, the light of dawn is not in it." And so maybe you would say, "Dwayne, I'm not going to be over here." But I want to ask you this morning, center point, as we continue to prepare for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives in a new way, who is it that is consulting for you? Who's teaching you? Center point, who's counseling you? And so I want to focus in very quickly this morning on this one title. He's given four titles. The Son is given four titles. The new king is given four titles. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Very quickly, center point, who are you listening to? You see, the idea of a Wonderful Counselor is the idea of one who comes alongside us and instructs us. And I have a greater fear about life today in 2019. It's not only that we have a difficult time listening, it's the idea that I'm not going to listen to anyone. You know why? Because I am good. And friends, the best I can come up with that this is pride, this is self-sufficiency to its core. I don't need you to tell me what to do with my life. I don't need you to tell me how to treat my spouse. I don't need you to tell me how to raise my kids. I don't need you to tell me how to spend my money. I don't need you to tell me what it is I should read or shouldn't read. I don't need you to tell me what it is I should or shouldn't watch. I don't need you to tell me where it is I should or should not live. I don't need you to tell me what job I should or should not have. You know what? I am good. Friend, at its most basic level, that is self-sovereignty. That is pride. That is not the way God intended for the church to function. It's the exact opposite. It's actually the idea that I do need you to speak life into me. I do need you to give me wisdom. I do need you to tell me. I do need you to instruct me. I need you to testify about the goodness of God so I can hear it, so that I can discern not what's over here, but what's here that sounds so good, but is still opposite to what the Lord wants to do and say in my life. And so the writer in Isaiah says he will be a wonderful counselor. Is he counseling you today, friends? Are you listening to him today? Are you gleaning from his word? Are you getting quiet enough to listen? And who physically have you invited to come and sit beside you for the purposes of instructing you and teaching you and guiding you? And so in Isaiah, the title is given Wonderful Counselor. If you flip over, though, to John chapter 16, verse 7, it's not going to be on your screen. You can look it up later if you want to. Jesus is talking in John 16 about the idea that he has to go away. His disciples don't like this idea very much. They're sad about the prospect of Jesus going away. But here's what he says to them in 16:7. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." Jesus actually told his disciples when he was here in physical form, he told his disciples, "I need to go away. And if I go away, it'll be good for you because the spiritual advocate will come." Now that word advocate is translated a lot of different ways. If you look up different translations, you'll find that that word advocate is used as advocate. It's used as helper. It's used as comforter. It's used as counselor. If you look it up in the original Greek, the language doesn't really make sense to us. But in the original Greek, it speaks to this idea, a come besider, one who pulls up beside us, one who walks life beside us, one who counsels us, one who teaches us, one who speaks truth to us. And friends, I want to tell you this right now. If you can find a friend who will tell you the truth, and not simply cater to your wants and whims of comfort and your own hurt feelings, you have found a gift. Let me repeat that. Church, if you can find a godly friend who will speak truth to you and not simply cater to your own wants and whims and your own need for comfort, you have found a true gift. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus says, if I go away, the advocate's going to come, the counselor's going to come, the consoler, the comforter. And what's he going to do? He's going to teach and instruct. You see, for me today, it's a two-sided coin. On the front side, the head side, I need the Spirit of the living God speaking to me. And friends, I have to be setting time aside to be hearing what the Spirit would have to say to me. Shutting down the phone, shutting down the TV, laying aside the hobbies, stop arguing for a minute, put down the to-do list. And on the A side, I need to get quiet before the Lord and ask, Lord, what it is you would say to me. As the Holy Spirit comes into my life, advocate, counselor, helper, friend, what do you want to say to me about life? What am I missing? What truth do I need to hear? But on the other side, I need people to come alongside me. I need a friend who will tell me the truth. And along the way, I need to be teachable. How teachable are you, church? When's the last time you changed your mind about anything? I'm convinced that until this inner movement of the Spirit starts to take place, we probably won't see much fruit from an outward movement. And so I came today to ask you, Center Point, who have you allowed to come beside you to teach you and to instruct you with wisdom, with truth, and the wisdom and truth of God? Silence is tough. And I pray that in the days ahead, we will find that we are becoming a more silent congregation so that we might be better equipped to hear the voice of the wonderful counselor. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we need you today. Jesus, we need you to disrupt our patterns, our habits, our behaviors. God, to disrupt our lives in the most holy way. Lord, I have no doubt that the majority of people in this room right now would never think about consulting a spiritist or a medium. I have no doubt right now that most people in this room are not consulting the dead for wisdom about life. But Lord, we don't want to live in the middle either. We don't want to live on the fence. We don't want to be happy with the wisdom of 2019 or what sounds good in this moment or what it is that scratches our own comforts and makes us think that whatever side of the coin we land on, that we're right. God, we want to be a teachable people. God, we want to be shapeable and moldable. And I would pray that as a church, God, if there are those minor realities, those legalistic realities at which we've landed, where we've put our stake in the ground and we're not going to let anyone move us or challenge us, God, would you forgive us for that? God, would you allow right now each and every one of us to become open to having your voice speak to us, and also the voice of a godly friend come alongside of us. God, to give us teaching and instruction from your word. And God, I would pray across this room right now, if there are those of us that we have submitted to someone who is speaking advice and wisdom to us, but it's contrary to your will, God, may we be able to see those voices for what they are. God, do a fresh inner work in us as a church, God, so that we could be poised and ready to have your fruit grow forth from that inner world in a very public and ministry manner, God, So God, don't just do some inner work in us for the purposes of doing an inner work. God, do an inner work in us that's new and fresh so that truly we can be and go and do as the people that you would have us. God, be as faithful servants. God, I thank you for this church. God, as we enter into a time of transition, of loss of some key families, God, we pray you watch over them, protect them, go before them in relationship, go before them in affirmation about the call that you've placed on them. And God, in the meantime, watch over Centerpoint. Watch over the mission and the vision, God. May we tend to that mission and vision carefully in these days, God, so that we can be the faithful ministers to the city of Orlando, to Central Florida and the world around us. God, we're so thankful that at no point in life do we have to arrive. God, we can walk through life and trust you enough to be teachable and moldable, because we know, God, you want to create something new in this church and in our own hearts. So God, truly, for anything good that would become of us in the days ahead, we will give you thanks and praise. We love you, Lord, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.